It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 seconds of your day. The busy Homer Hour. Rain Man, caller 5, 1-800-990-3776. Caller 5. Our leader so far is Joe in Milwaukee with 7, is that right?
That's right, last week, a first timer.
Yeah. Get you all the great partners. 1-800-990-3776, caller 5. 15 questions, 2 minutes. The only one who can't compete is Joe because he's the leader. Everybody else, in turn, in addition to somebody was ahead the week before, and they got 5 right. But you can't be the leader. You can be in second place. And you automatically win a $25 gift card from Cousin Subs. That's amazing, even if you suck. I didn't want to have that rule, and they said, that's how you got to do it, Homer. And so, fine. Cousin Sub is that nice. Let's do it. Easiest competition ever. You automatically get $25. And if you win the game, which goes until the end of June, we do 2 a year. If you are number one, you then win a Cousin Subs for a year, which, as people who have wanted have said, it's worth about $300, and it's fantastic. So, want to thank Cousin Subs, and also want to thank Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service. And they've been doing it well for over 50 years. And I add this one, which is why they do it so well. They're small enough to handle your needs with special attention, but large enough to have the clout to make it happen. You got to be large enough to have the clout so that the companies they deal with understand you got to take care of the people working with Saganiac Planning. They're happy to do that. And then Saganiac Planning small enough so that you get the attention in addition from them to the companies they deal with. Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits, top-notch service for over 50 years. Phone number. Just remember 783. Saganiac Planning, 262-783. Roger Maris, 6161.
That number again, 262-783-6161.
And who's our contestant, Pebble?
Our contestant today is Yusuf in Whitefish Bay.
Yusuf, good afternoon. I would like your Rain Man resume, please.
I don't have a resume.
You've never done this before?
Nope, first time.
Have you listened before to have an idea of the competition?
Yes, I have heard the contest before.
All right, and Pebble, do we give Yusuf the information, or will he not listen like everybody else who doesn't listen?
I can give the information. Yusuf, you got 2 minutes to go through all 15 questions. If you don't know the answer, say skip or pass. Homer, come back to it. Don't dilly-dilly, because otherwise you're going to run out of time. We got to get through all 15 questions in 2 minutes.
All right.
Got it? All right. The first question, Yusuf, is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. They are a great supporter of Marquette. By the way, 1 o'clock tomorrow, they will have the introduction with the new Vice President Director of Athletics, Mike Broeker. But Saganiac Planning, the first question, the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. You ready to go, Yusuf?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go. He holds the Marquette record with 956 assists.
Pass.
CC Sabathia in the 1998 Major League Baseball draft was pick 5, 20, or 45. Which number? CC Sabathia.
45.
Incorrect. Sabathia, 251 career wins, exactly the same number as what other Hall of Fame pitcher known for his time with the Cardinals?
Bob Gibson?
Correct. He pitched for the Braves. He pitched for the Brewers. He had 324 career wins, the same as Nolan Ryan.
Pitched for the Brewers?
Yep.
Pass.
He pitched for the Milwaukee Braves. He had 363 career wins.
Warren Spahn.
Correct. Who had more career wins, Greg Maddux or Roger Clemens?
Clemens.
Incorrect. Bucks career scoring. Giannis 1, Kareem 2. Who is number 3 career scoring all time for the Bucks?
I'm going to go with, Terry Cummings.
Incorrect. Bucks career leader, block shots.
Alton Lister.
Excuse me? No, Alton Lister, incorrect. Bucks career leader, triple-doubles. Giannis has 50. Kareem is next. How many triple-doubles did he have within five?
Forty-two.
Incorrect. Bucks career leader assists. Giannis. Who is number two?
Paul Pressey.
Correct. Bucks one season leader. 2,822 points. Who did it?
Michael Redd.
Incorrect. Bucks one season second in points scored. 2,596. Who did it?
Kareem.
Correct. Bucks one season third in points. 2,361. Who did it?
Kareem.
Correct. Big Ten back-to-back national football titles. They have it now. The last time was 41-42. Name either of the Big Ten teams that won the national championship in those years.
Minnesota.
That's correct. College basketball. College basketball. Who's number one in the country?
Duke.
Duke is incorrect. They're number two. I have six, Pebble. Is that correct?
I have six as well.
And
yes.
I gave Yusuf an extra amount of time because maybe I was too slow. But Yusuf. Pebble, how long did he take on one question?
He took quite a long bit time.
Come
yes.
on, Yusuf. By the way, you had some great answers. All right, let's see how good you are. You got six. You're not the champ, so you can do it again next week. He holds the Marquette record with 956 assists.
Tony Miller.
Tony Miller is correct. C.C. Sabathia in the 98 and Major League Baseball draft was pick number 5, 20, or 45.
20.
20 is correct. You got Bob Gibson. C.C. Sabathia and Bob Gibson had exactly the same number of wins, 251. He pitched for the Brewers. He had 324 career wins, the same as Nolan Ryan.
Don Sutton?
Don Sutton, you nailed that. And you got Warren Spahn, yes, 363. Greg Maddux and Roger Clemens. Greg Maddux had 355 wins. Roger Clemens had 354. Bucks career scoring. Giannis is number one. Kareem is number two. Who is number three?
Chris Middleton?
That is correct. Bucks career leader, block shots.
Giannis.
Yes, it is. I can't remember what Yusuf said. He said somebody.
He said Alton Lister.
That's what I thought. Excellent choice. I'd have given you a half point for that, Yusuf. That was great. All right. Bucks career leader, triple-doubles. Giannis has 50. Kareem is next. With how many? You have to be within five.
Does he have 20? 21?
Eight. You had between 3 and 13. Great pick, Paul Pressey, number two in Bucks career assists behind Giannis. Bucks one season leader, points, 2,822. Who has it?
Is it Kareem?
It is Kareem. Bucks second in points in a season, 2,596, as correctly done by Yusuf. Kareem. Bucks one season third in points, 2,361.
That'd be Kareem.
Kareem again. And I could have done four. He has the top four seasons in points scored, which tells you how incredible he was. You should get more than one for this, Yusuf. Big Ten back-to-back national football titles now. There'll be time before that. The last time was 41-42. Name either of the national champs from the Big Ten then. Minnesota was correct, but there is one other.
It was Ohio State.
Ohio State. Minnesota won 40-41, so they actually have three in a row. And felt bad for you, Yusuf. College basketball men's number one team in the country. He coached at UWM at one time.
The Auburn Tigers.
The Auburn Tigers. Who would have ever thought Auburn could be that good in basketball? Yes, Bruce Pearl. Duke is, by the way, number two. Both teams are very capable of winning the national title. Yusuf, thanks. You should have gotten extra points for some of those, but you can try it again. Please, what's the maximum amount of time? That you should, Pebble, it's like 2 seconds.
Exactly.
If you don't have
the top of your head,
pass.
Then yeah.
Because I think if you had passed right away, you would have come back like I think it was with Pressey. So. But Yusuf, nice job. Yeah. Thanks for playing. Yusuf officially gets six. Well, and why is that, Pebble? Because it doesn't matter because he's not tied for the lead.
Exactly.
Actually, I think he had, what, three before he ran out of time?
Yeah.
And, yes, Kareem, first, second, third, and fourth in terms of number of points scored in a season. And my guess is that's because he didn't rest as much as Giannis does. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar averaged like 42 minutes per game played for the Bucks. And so he just played more. And so you might have had Giannis with a higher average per game, but that's only because he didn't play as many games. But total points in a season, use it if you wish. Top four is Kareem, and I think then Giannis has one, and then Kareem might have three more. He might have like seven of the top eight. So we still have our same leader, Joe in Milwaukee, at seven.
Yep.
There's a long time to go. Jason Wilde, next.
This is the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody should get information on the Packers every day of the year from Jason Wilde. I know how to do it. Even if you don't catch a certain show, you go to WisconsinOnDemand.com. They have the box that says Jason Wilde. You hit it, and then you just listen to everything he says. And at some point you go, is he on every show on that station or those stations? Not everyone, but close. Good afternoon, Jason.
Well, you don't have to listen to all of them. You can just pick and choose which ones you want to listen to, right? You don't have to.
I've never asked you to rank your performances on various shows, but
well, clearly the Homer Hour is number one.
Yes. Every show he's on, when asked, it's number one.
No, that's not true. I've been with you the longest, and plus, I only talk to you on Wednesdays. The other times, you just abdicate your responsibility and pawn me off on John Anderson and Brian Belonger.
Yes, I do. I love listening, and I love wanting to know what they're going to ask and what they'd be curious about. Like, I get to do that now because I don't really have that much fascination on the new head coach of the Bears, but maybe I should. Everything is important only as it relates to the Green Bay Packers, and this clearly does. But no one can know for sure how he's going to be as a head coach. I just assume Caleb Williams will be better. Your thought.
Right. Well, that's why they hired him.
I think so, yeah.
Of all the things that a head coach has to do, and there's many, the biggest one for them is that he's the right guy to make Caleb Williams a really, really good quarterback. That's their hope. And you look at Mike Holmgren with Brett Favre, right? Mike McCarthy with Aaron Rodgers, Belichick with Brady. Like, all the best coaches, miraculously, somehow have great quarterbacks. Going back to Lombardi and Starr. I mean, you know, he's the one who realized that Starr had inside of him what he had, right? And so, to me anyway, this is Ben Johnson. Is he going to be a good head coach? Is he going to be a good, you know, in-game decision maker? Is he going to manage the clock well? Is he going to use his timeouts well? Is he going to be smart about his challenges? I don't know, probably, but the most important thing is that he gets Caleb Williams to play at the apex of his ability. And I was just reading a tweet from someone, Kyle, I think his name is, saying what a devoted listener he is to the show, and we appreciate everyone who listens to Wilde and Tausch, which is three times longer than the Homer Hour. But, you know, he said, why do you guys always talk about the Bears when they do something? Well, you just said it. Everything is important as it relates to the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, whether it was our conversation this morning about Jaden Daniels, I don't really care about Jaden Daniels. What I care about is how is his play influencing how we view Jordan Love's play? Because you want to say, oh, well, you just look at Jordan Love based on his own play. You're not comparing and contrasting, but you know you are. Right? Like, you know you are, because...
Well, yeah, because if he's special, then you got one more team that you got to deal with in the NFC, and it's possible he could be that good. Not guaranteed, but right now, just like, imagine how all the teams felt when Brett Favre became Brett Favre. They're like, oh, my God, we got to deal with the Packers.
Right, and Holmgren was hired in part because, I mean, they didn't have Favre yet. They hadn't acquired him. They hired Holmgren first, but because he was the hot offensive coordinator who had been, you know, the right-hand man to Bill Walsh and who was the young guy. I mean, he was, what, 43 maybe when the Packers
hired him? And had been impressive in working with Montana.
Right, and young. And so I would argue that, you know, the reason why it matters to Packers fans is because if he's the guy that unlocks what clearly the previous staff couldn't in Caleb Williams' first year, then the Bears are going to be a problem, right? And so and by comparison, you know, and I've been saying this now since the season ended, like, I just think this is such a critical offseason because the feeling about this team, and I don't want to base things on vibe, right? You want to base it on fact and film and the thoughts of people that know the game and know this team, like, you know, the coaches and the scouts and players, et cetera. But, like, the vibe is just completely different. Like, I know there are still the Jordan Love loyalists that just believe he's the next, you know, he's been, you know, anointed as the next Hall of Fame Packers quarterback, and maybe he will turn out to be that. But there's been a lot of really good quarterbacks in the NFL that weren't quite good enough to get the Canton. Some of them even won Super Bowls. But to me, this is a pivotal year, a fulcrum season where you say, okay, he's special because he plays brilliantly in 2025, or yeah, he's good, he's okay, you know, you can win games with him. Are you gonna win a title with him? Maybe, if all the stars align. So I just think this is a really important year, and when you contrast him with other quarterbacks, whether it's Jaden Daniels or whether it's, you know, next year if Caleb Williams suddenly in a new system flourishes, you know, I mean, you could go the other direction too, right? Like, look at what Jared Goff did in the Lions loss. Look at what Sam Darnold did in the Vikings loss. Look what Jordan Love did in the Packers loss. And all three of them, you're like, hey, those guys, they didn't elevate their teams and they didn't elevate their games and they all lost. So the quarterback position is important, obviously. That's stating the obvious. But it's even more important when a team that drafted a guy number one overall who was viewed as this can't-miss prospect, and now you have paired him with the Mike Holmgren of 2025. Because that's what Ben Johnson is. He is the hot commodity offensive coordinator that they are going to – they're hoping and pinning all of Chicago's hopes on him being able to get Caleb Williams to be as good as they've dreamed he's capable of being.
And I was going to ask you, because – my question right now is more about LaFleur than Jordan Love, because I'm incapable of understanding how somebody who you've talked about is guys are always open. Now you get this running back that's better than you've ever had, and now guys aren't open? I don't get it. And I assume LaFleur is good enough to address that in the offseason. But that, to me, is a bigger question than Jordan Love, because I don't have an answer as to how the hell it happened.
Yeah, I think the way you asked that is perfect, too. I would love to have the opportunity to sit down with him, and maybe that's how I'll phrase it if I do, which is, help me understand how you got guys roaming the countryside wide open in the previous system, and now you add a guy who's even better than Aaron Jones, but you run a different style of run offense and a different scheme. And suddenly now you're saying the Mike McCarthyism of, you know, guys got to win their one-on-ones. Like, that just helped me understand that, because what made Matt LaFleur – I mean, I've told the story plenty of times, but I know not everyone listens every day and not everyone listens to Wisconsin On Demand and clicks the Wildy box.
More each day.
I'll never forget being in the locker room on a Friday – in the 2018 season And Thursday night football had been Rams, Vikings, and the Rams just ran circles around Mike Zimmer's defense. And it was Rodgers, Cobb, Adams, they're all in there, and they're all just talking about this offense. Did you see this? You see how open these guys were, this and that. And then, you know, magically, Matt LaFleur appears, and while it took a while for him and Rodgers to figure out, you know, what their, you know, consortium of an offense was going to look like, you saw it right away. Like, I said it to LaFleur when we were doing his press conference at the end of the season last Tuesday, where I was just like, I just feel like you got here, and all of us were talking to each other, oh my God, there's people wide open all the time. Like, you would watch the game, you'd watch the TV copy of the games, and there'd be moments, you know, you don't notice this when you're up in the press box and you're seeing the whole field, but there'd be moments that if you're watching it on TV, the only person in the TV framework was the wide open receiver. Like, there wasn't a defender to be found. That's how open guys were, and I don't think that that was the case this year. And I'm not saying that that happened on every single play from 2019 through, you know, 2021. But one of the things about having a young quarterback and one that sometimes struggles with inaccuracy, which is, I think, a fair critique of Jordan, is that when you have guys wide open, you don't have to put it on them quite as with as quite as much precision. And when I, you know, when I look at Jared Goff, one of the things that he is, he's got plenty of shortcomings, but he is really accurate with the football. And I don't know where Caleb Williams will be on that scale. And I don't know how wide open guys will be in Ben Johnson's Bears offense compared to the Lions offense. But if Caleb Williams is accurate, they're going to be scary. And so we'll have to wait and see, because I've not watched enough of the non-Packers Caleb Williams games to speak intelligently to his strengths and weaknesses.
As far as what Ben Johnson said, I know he made a comment about LaFleur, and I actually took it as, that tells me he has a lot of respect for LaFleur and really enjoyed beating him, but I don't know that everybody else heard it the same way. I thought that's one of the best things somebody said about LaFleur in recent times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to say that he enjoyed it was, I don't know. I
just wants again, to let fans know, Bears fans, that he likes beating the Packers. I don't know, maybe. What's
right.
He didn't have to say it.
That's exactly right. And, you know, look, I was saying this earlier. I can't remember who I said it to, but, like, he was being a politician, right? Like, he was being the guy who says the things that his base really wants to hear. And Bears fans want to hear you talk some, you know what, about the Packers in some way. Now, it worked for Lovie Smith.
Yeah, he did. He was strong.
He came in and said, our number
we're
one priority.
We're going to beat the Pack.
Right. It wasn't, we're going to win a Super Bowl or we're going to get to the Super Bowl. Although they did do that then in 2006. But, yeah, his credo was, you know, our number one priority is to beat the Packers. Because and then he went on to explain, which it never gets talked about, is if we beat them, we're going to be in position to win the division. And if we win the division, it's going to give us a better chance of getting to where we want to go and win a championship. Now, they let people forget, like, the Bears did go to a Super Bowl with Lovie Smith, and I think with Rex Grossman
yes.
as the starting quarterback.
Yep, that's correct.
So,
yeah.
Like, you know, the Bears, if we're being honest, they fire Lovie after he went 10-6. In 2012, and they have been not very good ever since.
No, they messed up. That was a bad decision.
Right, and now, and they've made subsequent bad decisions. Like, I don't know Matt Eberflus at all, but it didn't seem like that was a good hire from the beginning. And then, obviously, you get the first overall pick. You know you're going to draft this generational talent, or at least so he's been advertised. Just start over then. Like, instead of what they've done. So the reason, again, to go back to, I think, Kyle's tweets earlier, this is why this is significant, because as listeners to our stations well know, I am very much wanting the Bears to be relevant and good enough that you don't know who's going to win. I understand they
Yeah, that's your worst opinion ever in your entire life. You've never had an opinion as bad as that.
It's not an opinion. It's what I want.
I know, but Jason, you want the Packers to win. The more the Packers win and dominate, your job is easier. Your job is more fun. People are happy. People want to know more and more, not about losing players, but about winning players. Your job is way better if the Packers win and the Bears suck than if the Bears are better and the Packers aren't as good, right?
Well, can't they both be good?
No, the better the Bears get, the harder it's going to be for the Packers to be good, right? They're in the division.
Not necessarily.
All right.
Like, don't you think that it was fun when there were quarterback rivalries? Like, who was Aaron Rodgers' rival?
You know what's fun is everybody. Fun is whooping everybody. Fun is people going, can you explain Aaron Rodgers? I think he maybe plays that position better than
he was. No, what's fun is winning Super Bowls. And winning a lot of games is fun.
Yes.
But ultimately, if you listen to every season-ending show that Tausch and I have had when the Packers have lost, there's nothing fun about that.
All right. Is it easier or harder to win the Super Bowl? Hold on. Is it easier or harder to win the Super Bowl if the Bears are good?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
It doesn't matter?
It doesn't. The Packers.
You play two games against them. If Caleb Williams is a really good quarterback and the Bears are good, it's going to be harder for the Packers to achieve whatever it is they want to achieve. You want all the teams in the division to stink to make your life easier.
The Packers, each of the last 2 years, the Packers have made the playoffs as the seventh seed.
Correct.
Do you think, after what you saw the Commanders do, because this is irrelevant of whether the Bears are good or not, the Packers split with the Bears. They still finished 11-6, and they lost. They went 0-2 against each of the other two teams in the division. They finished 11-6. If they don't shoot themselves in the foot with four turnovers, their defense plays well enough. They could have, and maybe even should have, beaten Philly, who is now playing for a trip to the Super Bowl. So you're telling me that even though they went 0-2 against Minnesota and Detroit, both of whom also lost their first playoff games, and went 1-1 against the Bears, and only won that one game by a fingertip, that you're telling me that the Packers couldn't have gone to the Super Bowl this year despite that record in the division?
No, I'm saying
totally could have.
Their chances are better because the Bears stink. If the Bears were good like they want to be, they could have beaten the Packers twice. Packers might not even have made the playoffs.
They beat them once anyway. They beat them once anyway.
Again.
And they're terrible.
Again, you know that was a fluke. Right?
Right, but what I'm saying is it didn't prevent them from making the playoffs. And once you get in, the only way that the Bears being good is a problem is if you then meet them in the playoffs, like you did in the NFC title game in 2010, and then they still beat them anyway. Like, ultimately, all that really matters is that you get in. And four teams are not going to get in. And the Packers were a quarter away and a knuckleheaded across his body, late over the middle, at a triple coverage Jordan Love interception from beating the 49ers on the road and being in the NFC Championship game last year. I think if they don't, first of all, if they call the helmet hit, the Packers were not the better team when they lost to the Eagles 2 Sundays ago. I totally get that. But, like, the chasm between them and the Lions, as we saw in the December 5th game, was not big. They had obviously continued to lose defensive players, the Lions had. Like, the fact that if you just get in, and obviously you want to have home games and all that other stuff, but I don't think the Bears being competitive and good and there being a Love versus Williams rivalry significantly decreases the Packers' chances of winning a Super Bowl. I just don't think it does.
Okay.
Maybe it even gets them more prepared for the postseason, because they play some tight, nip-and-tuck games. Because Lord knows when they played good teams this year, it didn't do anything to prepare them for a playoff game, because then they went out and played some even worse than they had in some of the other losses they'd had against those good teams.
I tried and I failed. Thanks, Jason.
You did. All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Willey, all Packers all the time. You go to Jason, WisconsinOnDemand.com. Hit the button that says Jason Willey. Tune into Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker, HR, and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into the Bucks and Six, a culture knowingly, unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find the Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Holtebeck Eye Center, I've been there. He gets it, Dr. Aaron Holtebeck. I want to take care of every vision problem for people at whatever the age. Met he and his team recently. They have a top priority with the latest technologies at their state-of-the-art office. Dr. Holtebeck has been helping local patients with their eye care needs for over 20 years. But said, this isn't good enough. We got to be better. So Dr. Holtebeck recently added to his team the addition of Dr. Nausheen Abbas. They can handle everything, whatever the age, whatever the vision care needed. Don't mess with your vision. Trust the experts from Holtebeck Eye Center in Brookfield near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. Learn more about their services at Holtebeck.com. Tim Van Voren is not next. He's soon. Next, we'll be figuring out the question, Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, addressing what Jason and I talked about. The Bears being better makes it harder on the Packers. I couldn't get Jason to join that club. Next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Pebble has done it. The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Is it easier or harder for the Packers to win the Super Bowl if the Bears are good? You've got the latest numbers. Easier, very few, but harder and doesn't matter. Remember the Bears in 85? Did the Bears make it harder for the Packers to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because they won it.
Because they won it. Yes, I don't get it. I don't have too many. You just have two. You have two more tough games in your division that you could lose. You want every team in the division to be as bad as possible, so you win the division, and now you can't then think you're good just because you won it. You've got to assess all the other teams in the NFC that are good to get to the Super Bowl or in the whole league. But in terms of, is it easier or harder for the Packers to win the Super Bowl if the Bears are good? Right now I've got easier 4%, harder 56%, doesn't matter 40%. How could it not matter? Not to mention the issue of if the Bears are really good, as did it make it harder for the Packers to win the Super Bowl when the Bears were good in the 80s?
Of course it did.
Of course it did, yes.
Yeah, updated numbers. I got easier 4%, harder 54%, doesn't matter 42%.
As I've said before, that just means there's a lot of work to do. Doesn't matter. All right. Fisco Auto Body. I love talking about them because everybody needs an auto body place. And once you have one, you have Fisco, you're good forever. You've got it. Your kids got everything. Go to Fisco. They'll take care of it. Just makes your life so much easier in situations that can kind of be a pain given what may have occurred. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Don't mention enough on Forest Home in Franklin. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. By the time they're working on your car, they've been doing this stuff so often. It's that easy. They won't say it, but the quality of their work does. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Fisco on Forest Home in Franklin. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. You'll like them, and then you'll like me for telling you about them. Travel plans, listen up, got the specifics. Explore the many shades of Ireland with Colette Vacations and me and my wife. On August the 9th, we're heading off on an unbelievable journey. Explore the historic city of Dublin, kiss the famous Blarney Stone, and stand on the spectacular cliffs of Moher. Visit an Irish dairy farm. Enjoy a taste or two at a historic whiskey distillery. Stay in a medieval castle. Visit ESPN Milwaukee Travel for information. ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com or get the details. February the 2nd, the wonderful Colette team will give you all the information. I'll be there. Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin at 5 p.m. February 2nd, Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin at 5 p.m. for all the info. Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on 94.5 ESPN. The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
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 It's Fox 6 Sports Director Tim Van Voren on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports. It's not the offseason. Every day is the season of the Green Bay Packers. Tim Van Voren, three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. He was probably won other awards, but he won't tell us. And the Institute has not found that out yet. TVV, good evening.
Homer, a pleasure. Good evening.
All right, let's talk about the Packers and next year and what they have to do, what you think they'll do. You've heard from Goody. I've said the Packers are going to be good. The question is, are they special good, good enough? And who on this team is so good that the field tilts, which is necessary to win a Super Bowl? I don't really have one. Maybe you do.
I'll go Adrian Cooper.
All right.
Maybe not there yet, but just the skill set, I think, you know, they didn't package anything for Adrian Cooper this year. He was hurt through training camp and, you know, was certainly an impactful player, an all-rookie-type player in the snaps he had. But you've got a special player there, I think, that you do something defensively. And I like Jeff Hafley. I assume he'll be back in Green Bay. No reason for him not to be. So I assume he'll drop some things for Adrian Cooper. So he's a field tilter, if you ask me. Potential.
All right, good. That's a start. Do you agree with the premise that that's what they need? I mean, they're a good team. But yep. My big question, and I, for the first time, actually have a question for Aaron Rodgers other than what the hell happened to you, and that is, you explain how you have this guy, Matt LaFleur, who can seem to get somebody open in any offense. Now you have this incredibly good running back, and all of a sudden nobody's open. So, Aaron, explain that. Now I want TVV. I'll give you a chance because I doubt I'll be having a one-on-one with Aaron Rodgers.
You never know. Maybe he'll be on the market and open to talk to anybody and seeking questions like that, just seeking them. Not only open to them, seeking them. I would agree with you, Homer. I know I've talked on this program with you before about just kind of a lack of innovation this year from that Packer offense. Yes, much more reliance on the run, you know, some well-designed run plays with that kind of spin around and Jacobs up the middle. That stuff was effective and, you know, definitely seemed to be what Matt LaFleur was going for. But it's 2025. You have to throw the ball down the field, and there was so little of that this year from the Packers in terms of scheming anybody open. So was that the receivers just not able to do something that we thought they could do based off the year before? Or was there just a lack of emphasis on it this year? It's probably both, but I think maybe a little lack of emphasis that came back to bite the Packers this year.
And as a result, this offseason, I got more concerned about Matt LaFleur than I do Jordan Love. Where are you?
It's interesting. You know, my concern, if I'm a Packer observer, is on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, to me, I think the defense, you know, played well for the most part. Obviously, it helps to play New Orleans in December with Spencer Rattler.
But, yeah, they should be a little bit better because you mentioned Cooper. Yeah. They got young players that should be better.
So statistically, the defense was better, but you did get some pad gains that help the stats for sure. Offensively, I really think the offense was better. And I think that's where the concern would be going into the Packers' upcoming season. Is that Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff? Is that the personnel on that side of the ball? Is that inexperience? I think I'll speak for myself. It's not fair to assume that other people felt the same way. But I thought I would see more from the receiving group this year. It looked like you had, you know, multiple players pushing to really emerged coming off last season, and I don't think anybody emerged this season as a consistent wide receiver. So is that on the coaches? Is that on the group? Is that on Love throwing to the ball to them? We'll see. I would say this about Jordan Love, and I guess I'll limit it to Jordan Love. I'm not down on Jordan Love. I'm not fully up on Jordan Love. I'm definitely on the, you know, wait and see. Next year should be a progressive ascending year for Jordan and Love. And if so, then everything's fine.
But you didn't anticipate you would have such an opinion after the end of last season. You didn't think, based on what you saw and felt at the end of last season, that at 1 year later you'd be saying what you're saying now.
I would agree with that. I would also say I saw C.J. Stroud in person this year, and they got to the playoffs and, you know, did some damage in the playoffs. I didn't think much of C.J. Stroud in person at all after, obviously, he had a very good rookie year. So do guys regress? Do guys stagnate? Do you have to hit that, you know, do you accelerate a little bit and then you have to kick it in and hit that next gear? Maybe that's it. And, you know, I would say Jordan Love is certainly in that category. He's got to refire the engine here a little bit and take it to that next level. And is he capable of that? And it's not just one guy. It's Love in conjunction with his coaching staff and the passing, you know, the guys on the outside in the passing game.
Here's my toughest. Who's going to be the biggest offensive weapon for Jordan Love next year?
Well, Josh Jacobs is the biggest offensive weapon on the Packer roster.
All right, Josh Jacobs,
he's
one.
So reliable.
Okay.
Yep.
And
Tucker Kraft, too.
Tucker Kraft, number two.
Yep.
Number three. Jaden Reed? Not Jaden Reed.
You know, I assume your receivers are at the start. You don't have Watson at the start of the year, I would say. You have Reed. You have Wicks. You know, uncertainty about Dobbs and Watson not ready yet. So, or is it somebody else you bring in to add to that group?
Do you feel, speaking of that, you've given us the top two, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft. Do you feel better or worse about Devontae Adams as being a Packer next season?
I still think unlikely for Devontae Adams to be a Packer. Just at the age he is, at the stage he is in his career, you know, and he's had some injury problems. It's just too un-Packer-like as far as I'm concerned. Maybe they'll change it up. Obviously, when Brian Gutekunst first came in that 1 year, he had the four free agents. That was un-Packer-like, and it certainly made an impact. Devontae Adams isn't free either. You know, you're giving up an awful lot of caps. One thing to say, well, does he fit in? Would you break your mold for a player like that? That's one thing. And then you also have to, you know, give up compensation for him. So it just doesn't seem – I'm not thinking that's likely.
How much better do you think or fear the Bears will be with Ben Johnson? Or what's your quick thought on that right now?
Well, the Packers had one-point division win this year, so they should be concerned with all the teams in the division, and that included the Chicago Bears this year and should include the Chicago Bears next year. I think they will be better next year. I think they were pretty good this year, decent this year, until the house of cards, everything fell in after that Hail Mary. And, you know, Matt Eberflus obviously didn't handle it well, and the lack of discipline for Stevenson and the way things just collapsed on that team. But at the beginning of the year, Chicago was fine. It was okay. You know, they were an above 500 football team. So I think just because of that, I don't think they're a dog meat team to start with. And I think Johnson is an upgrade. So, yeah, I expect them to be better for sure.
I don't think that we got to talk about Bob Uecker. Did we?
No.
What? Whatever you want to say.
I viewed him, considered him a companion. You know what I mean? You know, Homer, you and I are, you know, and some of your audience, obviously, old enough to go back to, you had 25 games on TV all year. You listened to the radio. Yep. That is how you consumed baseball. And Bob Uecker was there night after night after night, you know, 50-plus years, including toward the end, night after night after night, as much as possible, particularly for home games. The guy was a competitor just to get to the booth and get behind that microphone. And so I viewed him as a companion.
Did you get to interview him at all, ever?
Oh, yeah, many times, including...
did he call your name, or did you call you Buddy, like he called me? Hey, Buddy.
Hello. He gave me what I will always miss. Hello, T. He always called me, hello, T.
Oh, good.
And I will miss hearing that. Yeah,
wow.
I'll miss hearing that for
yeah,
sure.
He was like, everybody had a nickname, right?
You know, yeah, and one of the last interviews I had with him was about the mortality of some of these old players when his good friend Mike Shannon died. And we sat down and talked about it. We turned it into a Beyond the Game story. It's still worth watching to me online and stuff like that because you create such a perspective, man. And he was one of the last of the old-timers of that core.
Yeah, and still so, doing it. So famous. Only people old enough like us know it. All right, thanks, TVB. You bet. Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service, but it's more than that. They've been doing it well for over 50 years. And this is why they are so good. They're small enough to handle your needs with special attention and large enough to have the cloud to make it happen. Yeah, for you to be taking care of the best, the companies that Saganiac Planning works with have to understand they got to take care of the people at Saganiac Planning. And that's why they're large enough to have the clout to make it happen and small enough needs with special attention. Saganiac Planning, 262-783. Roger Maris, Roger Maris, 6161. The Weekly Wager Show. And what is this? We got a controversy? Jen Ladd is protesting. She's the hottest gambler in the world in the NFL season. Now what? You got to listen to find out what the hell is going on, because that show needs Jen Ladd's pick, the hottest prognosticator on the planet Earth in the NFL season, regular season, next.